Let's hear it for Babes, everybody. Babes! Let's bring out Spencer Crittenden, everybody. His Harmontown is now in session. Keep it going, Babes. Keep rocking. Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Yeah. I like it.
Thanks, Babes. Babes Band.
Babes.
Babes.
Babes Band is your Twitter handle because you're not 70 years old, so Babes was taken when you started your Twitter account. Somebody probably
got on the ground floor of at Babes.
Are you starting the show as Ed 209 tonight?
Is it on? Oh.
You couldn't hear that?
No, I can't. To me, my voice sounds normal
unless I listen for it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's get started.
So it's unorthodox. Where Spencer normally dwells, we have Spencer. We have a band of four people.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
And now Spencer is now sitting over here in kind of Kumail Nanjiani territory.
Yeah, I feel like I get where he was coming from now, sitting on this side of the stage. I just feel like I'm together and we gotta, you know, like talk to Dan over here. Yeah.
But it's great. I mean, you definitely rose to beyond Kumail or even Harmon status in New York. Like, for those of you who heard the New York show, Spencer did a great job. We were Jeffless and Spencer stood up, stepped up.
Thank you.
Good job. Yeah, and then we elected a Nazi. I don't know if that was going to come up tonight.
I was out of town. What happened?
It was a squeaker. I kept saying the media was going to make it seem like a squeaker. That makes the 23rd out of 23 political predictions I've been wrong about. Starting with, we'll never see a black president in my lifetime. Like I really said that before.
I was talked into believing that. First, that it was going to be really tight, but then towards the end, we were talked into the idea that it was in the bag for Hillary. And I said a few times he was going to win it. Not that I wanted him to, or I don't even like putting that out there. I do kind of believe in the words you say, like, can manifest themselves in some, you know, like they can create things. I do believe that. I also really felt that it was a increasing possibility all the time. And like I was in London during the week and a half before the Brexit vote, and depending on who you talk to, most people are like, "Oh no, it's not going to happen." And you talk to anybody that was working class, they're like, "It's happening," and it was going to happen.
Well, yeah, and we get. I'm sure the election will be permeating tonight as a theme. I'm sure, including the analysis of the statistics and stuff. But what I am keen to talk about, because it's most scary, most promising, most exciting to me, is the cultural, not ramifications, but the cultural thing that's happening, of which I think this election is a symptom. Because it's a real thing that we have to deal with on our sidewalks and things and in conversations with each other, the people with actual human hearts and brains that we touch and whose breath we can smell, and who are renting property to or from us, and who we buy and sell bread to. I haven't been into the market in a while, and I I don't know how commerce works. I pay people to count my filthy money, but the human beings are neighbors and things, and are and douchebags. We know that our friend Kumail had an incident at a bar. It's like is it these young like douches that like they got drunk and they were like, I guess it turns out later, like in the analysis afterward of this story, the bartender was filling them in and saying that they have alt-right meetings over at this certain bar that I guess I won't name because I'm not sure whether it's a good, I don't know what I'd be doing by naming the bar, but that they have alt-right meetings in the back room and that this is a bar close by and that guy had been, one of those two guys had been there before and that he's kind of it's not like Clockwork Orange where it's like, holy shit, the fabric of society is changing necessarily just because of that story, but in case you didn't see it, the story was that Kumail and Thomas Middleditch were hanging out at a bar, and two guys that had been drinking for a couple hours came up to them and said, like, hey, we're big fans, and I disagree with what you say on Twitter about Trump. And then they said, let's not talk about politics. And they said, what are you, a cuck, 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 cuck? And they started chanting the word cuck, which, if that's going to happen, I
didn't know that that was an alt-right term for people that have been, what, cuckolded by politics? Like, yeah. What is the angle on that?
It's just more
it's just an attack on, I think, masculinity.
Oh, no, that you're not a man.
You're just like a beta male.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's more of a beta male thing to really focus on the sex life of other people.
But again, I don't know if you've seen cuckold porn, but there's this guy, Marcello, who's a cuckold who is very alpha. He fucking like he cuckolds himself so much that he owns the room. Like, I got no beef with a guy that's so low status he can suck another man's penis while that man fucks his wife. Like, I think that guy's pretty fucking intimidating. She goes like, lick my balls, slave, and he's like, and his eyes are just dead, and I'm like, this fucking guy, like, I'm following him into battle, not somebody who's like, what'd you say? Like, this guy's cool under fire. He's licking balls. You're not supposed to want to do that if a guy's fucking your wife. That's the last thing.
Well, so he's topping from the bottom, though. Like, he likes it. Like, he's in charge.
He's eating the world from hell. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. He's amazing. He's my hero.
I just did a comedy show last night. We were down in, the gig was in Escondido, California, kind of down San Diego way, like south of Carlsbad. But we stayed in Rancho Santa Fe, which is quite rich and white. And I went to have breakfast or lunch yesterday, and there was this woman that came in, and she was like very Orange County, like, you know, just picture a wealthy Orange County middle-aged woman who was pretending to be 19. And she was quite loud, and they were all talking about Chardonnay and varietals of grapes because they're all wine people, and it was fine. I was reading my book, so I was pissed off. But that's my fault for reading a book at a bar and expecting silence. And then she started talking. She went,
I thought you hated yourself for reading, or I thought you were going, and here I am reading.
I like reading alone at a bar or at a restaurant, and I expect graveyard silence, which is self-destructive. That's right. Stupid. But I do bring earplugs, but then I'm like, now I'm wearing earplugs in a bar, and everybody has a right to look at me and go, this guy is a fucking piece of shit. And I can dig it. But it was totally silent for the first 45 minutes I was there. And then this woman came and was talking to two other people, and they were talking about grapes and wines. And then she's like, oh, yeah, my daughter's got married. And my son-in-law is so amazing. He's a Marine. And they have a dog. And the dog is named Mary, but it's short for America. And and as I drove down there, when you pass the Orange Curtain, when you get down into good and proper Orange County, it's Trump stickers and Ford F-150s and all that jazz. But then they all started talking in hushed tones about politics, about the election. They were all Hillary people. They sounded like they were going to be Trumpies. But then I heard another guy, later on, football was on, and a guy sits down with this like white guy with this white girlfriend or wife, and an interception happened. And he yelled, oh, goddamn it, you fucking monkey. And I was the only one that heard it. And I just turned to him and went, whoa! And he goes, well, why do you assume I was talking about an African-American? I
said, whoa! Double whoa! That's a metal whoa! Yeah. Whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm watching the same TV you are, man. And he goes, you fucking jackasses. And then he mutters to his wife, fucking jackass. What other words are they going to take away from us?
Yeah.
So then I said, oh, I'm going to guess you voted for Trump. He goes, no, we voted for Hillary.
Exactly. So, thank
but
you.
He felt okay. Activated. I feel that I'm not Camille Nanjiani and I'm not brown. And I didn't get poked in my chest by some alt-right weirdos. I just feel like that was the first time I've ever heard somebody feel that comfortable to yell that out. And also, strangely righteous indignation when I didn't go, hey, fuck you, racist. I didn't say that. I went like, wow.
Right. And he was like, fuck you, racist, in his head. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. And I'm very proud of myself. I lined up some guests that are not based on like, oh, this person represents this or that. In keeping with that, I invited random people that I came across.
They better be all white males.
They aren't. But I do, because tonight is going to be, if I have anything to do with it, it's about moving forward into, like, I don't care. Don't, if you're listening to this and you're offended by a straight white dude saying we need to erase the lines and solidarity is not getting us anywhere, I'm not telling you not to see lines and I'm gonna express that where I'm at and how I'm going to move forward the best way I think I can help and use my I statements. I am certainly not here to tell particularly, especially the last person I want to tell not to see things in lines are the black women in our family tonight, because I feel like that was an astounding, almost comedically absurd story. Like if you looked at the statistics and you were looking at lines and how they broke down, that was a bummer. Like they lined up and they did. They were like, "Yep, it's what you see is what you get." Voting for Hillary, she's not. She's a woman, and I'm a woman, and there's a million reasons. Blah blah blah. But I'm and then they came home. And it's like, let's get Our Lady president. What the fuck, you honky bitches.
42% of the women vote went for Trump. Is that right?
Yeah, I don't even know. It's like we've all seen the spreadsheets that have like befuddled us. But if and then we search for meaning with our primate minds.
I trusted Jake Tapper. he lied.
I think the message from those spreadsheets, from this election, from everything, the thing that's going to keep me sane is going like, oh, thank God. It may be in a very twisted, horrible balloon animal way, but Martin Luther King finally just actually became, his dream is actually becoming a little bit true, because I cannot look at anybody anymore or think about anybody based on any group that they belong to and assume anything about them. I think that election, like, it's like you can now say that you have more in common with a person you haven't met yet than some of the people you've met. You can now say that you have more important things in common with people who have superficial things not in common with you. And I don't want to speak for my the people that are shaped like me, but before that Tuesday, I was walking around thinking that like the idea that biology didn't matter, race, gender, to name a few, bio lines, there's a million of them though, the things that just make us different, like in the goo that makes up our body. The idea that that stuff didn't matter, I always looked at it like broccoli. Like really healthy, really hard to commit to, like not the first choice, like when I'm secretly thinking about what I'd rather do, like kind of difficult, worth it, will make everything better, oh, so hard to do, and no one else is going to do it anyway. And after Tuesday, like, I swear it's not hyperbole, it was just like the one good thing for me was I was like, holy shit, no. The idea that you can't tell what people are thinking or feeling or where they're coming from by looking at them is not like broccoli. It's like air. It's impossible now to not be in that mindset. It's absolutely vital, and it's relatively empty, and we have to fill it with something meaningful. I know that was a dumb way to extend that metaphor. I should have stopped that. It just went from being like, oh, you should really do that. Okay, I will, and walking around like that monkey guy who clearly was yelling at himself before you did. He had all this shit. You were yelling at him for being racist. That guy's already, we got this fucking World Wrestling Federation wrapped up in our brains because we're surrounded by it. Anyway, so like the big question becomes, how do we stop being surprised by shit? How do we, that was my therapist's advice, stop expressing yourself with like, Dan, you keep going like this, and you keep, your voice keeps going up in the air because you keep going, there's a swastika over the house in San Francisco! Can you believe it? The white women in the it's all in that context of, can you fucking believe it? Can you believe it? And you hear that story about Kumail, and the always the unspoken thing on Twitter is like, when you retweet stuff, which you should do, the unspoken message of it is like, can you believe this? And that, for the last 20 years, has been enough. Like, that has been our definition of the guillotine. It's been our definition of, like, just, like, transparency.
Of justice.
Of rule of law, socially, because there are no laws against, like, having weird feelings about, you ate three bananas, now you're a woman. You can have, like, these fucked up ideas that if a Supreme Court justice has them, bananas, illegal. And we're like, whoa, hey, those thoughts aren't illegal. And so we have, up until now, had the luxury of going, can you believe this person feels this way? Now it seems clear to me that it's like, oh, you gotta believe it. You gotta believe it, which, and coming with that is like, then if you're going like this, you're the sucker. Like, can you believe this guy's mugging me? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Steven Seagal can. That's why he's not getting mugged anymore. What a terrible example. You guys don't admire Steven Seagal. I'm 43. He was like really, he was badass. Like 6 months of 92, I think. I couldn't think of a name of a guy who's famous for not getting mugged.
I forget. Maybe I remember. I'm not sure if I know the exact order of the five stages of grief, but do you know which, Spencer or Dan, do you know which one you're in right now?
Well, I'm
going to assume not acceptance yet.
Well, or you could say either this grief doesn't apply, or I'm all the way to acceptance because we need to do more than grief. If our friend is getting harassed in a bar, we don't have to go grab our muskets. We don't have to go, because we don't know those guys represent the alt-right. We don't know what the alt-right is. We don't know. We have to straighten our backs, square our shoulders, take a deep breath in, go, this is happening. Like there are skinheads. There are angry people. There are people you can't, every person that is walking toward you, it has either dynamite or pudding, or pudding being a good thing, like the opposite of dynamite. But it's a bad thing to have in your head because you need to think. So again, my metaphors are failing, but I'm saying every person that you encounter is could be
explosive,
a
or
god
delicious,
or a monster, but very likely something incredibly sloppy and unpredictable in between that is going to require like very, very like in the moment negotiation, and also though before you enter that chaotic world, an agreement about how we behave. For instance, when I've seen some pictograms about that were being posted that I thought were kind of cool. It's like, what do you do when you see a dude bullying a Muslim woman on a subway, and it like shows you in pictograms like what you should do? It turns out what you should do is walk up to the Muslim woman, start hanging out with her as if the guy doesn't exist and as if you've known her for 20 years. Hey, how are you? I haven't seen you in a while. And it it probably, it's better than going like, get your hands off her. I got sidetracked by that, but like,
are you saying? We should all like, if I saw someone doing that, I would absolutely go up there and intervene and step in at the risk of getting like punched. Like,
well, I
but the thing is, like,
I don't know. I would piss my pants and cry, and so I want to talk to people who don't know how. It's like, I feel like you're bragging.
I'm saying hypothetically because it's always been a hypothetical. Now, I don't think it's going to keep being a hypothetical. I think it's going to be something that you're going to run into a lot now.
I want to plan for it, and I'm going to need powerful friends, Jeff. Powerful, powerful friends. From the Marvel Universe, you know her as the Red Sorceress. Now it's Scarlet Witch. It's Elizabeth Olsen.
Hit it, babes.
Yeah.
The obvious joke to make is like, hey, could you use your signature Marvel power to undo that election? But I've seen two movies now, and I can't figure out what your signature power is. It seems like you can do anything to anyone, but it involves red light.
Yep, that's as much as I understand. And I think at some point I gotta manipulate time. I think, at least in the comics.
Well, good, because your character was kind of weak, so I was hoping they would give it.
In the movies, it's different.
Is your mic on, or are you just far away from
it? Oh, I don't do this much. There you go. Thank you.
But that does make me curious, like, when you're in a movie like that where you're, mm-hmm. like, shooting goggles and everything's like... So then, let's say Joss Whedon comes up, like, okay, we did one take. Now he's gonna give you an adjustment. Like, what is he? Is he? How much?
He actually like made up the whole movement. It was all in his head. So he
had very. It?
Oh yeah, he wrote it, moving, like me. At least he told me that, and he would physically ask me to do different physical things and demonstrate it for me. And the Russos don't do that. They don't understand. They're like, I don't know what to do with you. Why don't you go away and figure it out with your choreographer? And I'm like, okay, great. I love what I do, but we'll talk about it later. But anyway, this is so frivolous.
Yeah, well. You know, I wasn't going to go on to ask you, what's it like to wear so much makeup? Yeah. I was going to eventually, like, I did invite you on because we were doing a project together, and so you were one of the first people I saw, you know, in the
right
wake
after
of
the
all
election.
Of this.
Yeah.
In the wake of every woman in Los Angeles, like going through something that I'm not even allowed to pretend I understand because that's just part of the problem and blah, 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 and that makes me more mad, makes me want to be manly and do things, and that's what the problem is because we just elected a guy that wants to be manly and do things. And it's like, okay, I can't mansplain, but the only thing to explain is that I want to mansplain, and not being able to mansplain is making me angry, and my therapist has verified that is every couple right now that's coming through. It's like, it's a woman with a, what as a Star Wars fan I would call a carbon scored feeling panel that was tricked over, let's face it, 180 years into like putting a little fiber optic cable out and then it just got sliced off with this Cronenbergian penis slimy knife, like tricked you, got you, and now they're just wandering. But anyways, what was I talking to you about? Joss Whedon.
We were talking about I don't know if I represent a feminine response.
No, not at all. No.
But I mean, just because I don't.
No, you were like, I just pull out my dick and vote.
Yeah,
and I was like,
that's
whoa,
exactly what I said.
It's huge, but it glows red, and I can't. It was like, no.
I was actually not in the country because I did a mail-in vote and handed it in because I was so scared to trust the mail service, and I was in Mexico City. And so that was really interesting, and I was talking.
How fast are they going to build this thing?
Well, yeah. I mean,
I can have one more margarita, right?
The joke is now they're like, yeah, let's fucking build a wall so no one from America can come in. Like, yeah. That's the only joke to make now. But I had a friend when I was saying, you know, really emotionally on Wednesday morning, I was like, how can there be so many racist and xenophobic people and sexism, and everyone's so uneducated? Our education system has failed us. He just said, you know, I don't like my president. I didn't vote for him, but there are a lot of people in my country who did, and a lot of people make $2 an hour. And, well, he first told me that I was part of the problem for saying that. And then he said, you know, I don't blame the guy who makes $2 an hour for voting for our president because he actually bought his vote and gave him a refrigerator. And I don't think he's stupid. I don't think he's ignorant. And I'm not saying we're in the same situation, but...
And we don't measure things in refrigerators. So they're coming along down
but
there.
But that's something to think about.
I measure them in delicious
about.
Trump steaks.
but that is something to think about. Like, okay, how am I part of the problem by just naturally assuming that all these people are this, 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 and this? And
how are you
then,
part of the solution, you mean?
Sorry.
You said how am I part of the problem?
Yes, I am part of the problem.
Right, because you're a woman.
I'm doing
no,
this.
No, I'm kidding.
Yes, and because I have a vagina.
Right. It's full of mystery and betrayal.
Blood. And the what?
Just ask the blacks. That's what I came here tonight to do. Erase lines. Yes. How are you? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Is like, okay, so I, yeah, it's like, and there's lines behind lines behind lines, because when I hear that story about Kumail at the bar, I'm like, oh, bullies. Like,
right.
I know what a bully is. And I'm like, and then that means I need to do this and this and that. I don't know those two guys. I know five things about them, all of which totaled make them douchebags, and they needed to be dealt with in that moment the way that they were dealt with. And we would be foolish to not ask ourselves at this point, should we? There's two things to think about for me. One is, how do I deal with the anxiety, like, in a healthy way?
Mm-hmm.
Which Emily Gordon, Kumail's wife, like, posted some stuff. There's been a lot of great things online of people going, like, you're filled with this shit right now. The consensus seems to be it's a great time to go volunteer for stuff, like, which sounds like a fucking last thing you want to do. Mm-hmm. As like, but it's like, I think it's a thing, like, if I force myself to, like, go to 826 LA and see what I can do to help, like, that somehow that'll lead to some kind of relief in a healthy way. But the other thing is that I can't ignore is, like, aren't we supposed to get ready for some fucking fisticuffs? I ordered a salad tonight at the restaurant because I got to stop eating Doritos because there's Nazis. And I would be very foolish to be like, well, maybe they just need a hug.
That to me sounds like a great origin story for an Avengers character.
I don't understand fighting violence with violence. I just have never understood that. So I think kudos to say, I think I'd stand straight up at that person and get him to back down. I think there is a version of that that doesn't have to be violent and confrontational. But you and I have talked a lot about the idea of lines and divides and trying to figure out, you know, people are so scared to say how they felt. And it's because the people who have the privilege to be on social media and have a lot of followers, or to be on a podcast, or to be on whatever, they tend to all kind of believe the same things, and we're all just talking to each other.
Mm.
And I think, you know, with algorithms and Facebook, and you just see what you want to see, and I don't understand how that's ever going to change anything.
Yeah, we're all just talking to ourselves the whole time. Like, if you like one side or the other, you're only listening to that one side.
Even when
why are you so surprised that there is another side? You just weren't listening to it.
Well, also, why is a parakeet surprised that there's a mirror in its cage? Like, we are why are people chanting for Hulk Hogan shocked that someone's into the Iron Sheik at the same event?
Right.
Like, we are being sold. We are
because
being sold
of the
something.
Camel clutch. The camel clutch was
also,
a devastating move.
And I think another thing that was kind of like a weird relief was that, because I don't like as a celebrity or a person who's in movies, I don't like the idea of being like, I believe this, so therefore I'm going to change all your opinions because I believe it. And I think that's like a weird egocentric thing, and that's kind of what Hollywood did. And what we were talking about when I brought it up the other day, you said, no one's going to look at Jay-Z and be like, oh, Jay-Z wants Hillary for president. I have so much in common with Jay-Z. I'm going to vote for Hillary now. Like, they've got nothing in common.
I've got 99 problems, too.
But is a bitch one?
It is now.
I've got 99 problems, and a bitch not being in the White House is one of them. He puts out a new version of his. What we were talking about, I mean, the Jay-Z example kind of like blurs lines for me, because I get scared and white and like, well, again, I don't. It's like there is so, it's like, I can't fucking blank explain anything to a certain like
people.
Yeah, like,
that's gonna be the new thing.
But I will say, like,
it's gonna be the episode title.
What were you saying? It's like if I'm working in a, I'm gonna take some liberties and create a cartoon character. If I'm Joe welds a lot coming off of my half-closed factory job and going to Pizza Hut because it's the fanciest restaurant in town and it's payday. And I'm like eating with a knife and fork because pizza's fancy food for me because I live in Podunkia. I'm taking liberties. I'm saying assume the guy that's the least receptive to this right. message. Like it's like
and so Joe welds a lot from Podunkia.
The TV in the corner all of a sudden has Robert Downey Jr. on it saying like, look, we have to talk. Tomorrow, you have a choice to make, and the power is in your hands. And it doesn't really matter. They made a very funny, self-effacing, like kind of like meta version of that thing. But I'm just saying, like that. The bottom line of that message isn't, look what I'm doing, or I'm making you aware of something. Everybody knows the election's coming up. Everybody that cares about voting because they feel something's at stake for them. Because they're not hopelessly disenfranchised, is going to vote because it's actually about them and like they feel that way. And so a person saying like, look at me, you got to vote and you got to vote right. Like if I was the slightest bit inclined to like, you know, mm-hmm. not believe in the elitist, you know, like liberal King's Landing, that I'd be like, see, there we go. I would pull the other lever twice just because I'd be like, don't. And so it's probably bolstering the base, you know, somewhere else. I don't know what we got on this topic. It's stupid. Let's bring out Brandon Johnson. He'll help us.
Oh, yeah. Hit it, babe. Brandon Johnson. The only guy who is always better dressed than me.
How are you, folks? See, look at you healed and shit. You healing. I'm glad you all made it out. Thanks for having me, Dan.
That's another thing. It seems like we can't enjoy anything anymore right now.
Well, not this week. Don't rush us.
Well, exactly. Like I feel like if I'm smiling, someone's judging me. Or if I'm like having a lunch, like I can't be enjoying the food I'm eating.
I've been forcing myself to express my pissy kind of comments as jokes, recognizable as jokes on Twitter. But then someone will go like, I'm just waiting for somebody to go like, yeah, well, you didn't make that joke about Hillary or whatever their response is that's not either that's funny. I don't even want to hear that's not funny. If that's not funny, don't tweet at me. What is he fucking... This president almost got me to say retarded.
Brandon, where are you at right now? What's
Oh, hi, Brandon.
Oh, man, it's awesome. It's like if you were a Native American and you looked over and you were like, all I noticed was that y'all motherfuckers wasn't shooting at me and trying to steal my land no more. What is going on out there? It looked like white people mad at each other. This is the greatest day.
We're actually...
Because the weird shit is there were no shootings 2 to 3 weeks. Y'all had
of Native Americans?
Of black people.
Oh.
There was a dip. There was a dip.
We started hating a lighter shade of brown.
That's right. So it has been amazing to watch. It is like it's like a Super Bowl or a baseball game, you know.
Do you really think there? Would you speculate that is a symptom of any kind of solidarity? Like the idea that
y'all knew with this shit. You never had your dreams crushed. Let me tell you, this shit for y'all is like, it's almost like if a black kid was laying in a pool of blood, you know, and for hours and shit, and then a bunch of people videotaped it, and you were like, I'm fucked up over that, and then it kept happening, and there were like 585 in a year, your heart would already be broke, so this shit is like, amazing.
Are you saying that you think like... Like the Chicago PD was less inclined to start shooting people that they knew were black American citizens
because now
they're starting to defend borders like and shit? Or?
I'm saying I look down and I see Appomattox. I see troops on either side fucking each other up over some shit that I'm not really a part of. I'm going to get fucked over either way. Say, white people, once they come together after this Republican Democrat shit, well, if still gonna be. It was. I live in Los Feliz, and it wasn't like white people were running up to me like, "Damn, this is fucked up," and I just want to apologize. So I'm like, "You'll be all right."
Well, yeah, if you keep dressing up like you're from Nation of Islam from 1965,
you might get grandfathered into a shooting. Be careful.
See what I'm saying? See how comedy can bring us together.
As long as it's, yeah.
You feel like your dreams got crushed because you were about to do some real cool shit. I know how you feel. You were like, we fucking Obama right now? We got 8 years. We're about to do some cool shit. We gentrifying. We making moves, motherfucker. Everybody is out there kicking it right now. We're doing ecstasy. We're kicking it. This is the greatest motherfucking country in the world. And then all of a sudden, just as you were about to get that last drink, somebody came and smashed your dream. And I've been there. I'll be there every time I try to order a drink.
I can't get this.
So let me give you the handbook of how you can make it through this shit.
Lay it on us.
Oh,
run! I don't know what you gonna do. You got to run. Bring your kids close. Number one thing really is like, don't panic. It's a long fucking haul. You got to understand. This motherfucker got about 2 years, really. Because in those last 2 years, we gonna come at you. You know we are. That's number one. And stop being bitches about the shit. You act like you in Mogadishu, like motherfuckers ran up on your house in trucks and were like, pulled your daddy out. Where I come from, where Mexicans come from, where Asians come from, motherfuckers die Asia? During election season. People leave town to get the fuck out because it might be a new president.
Okay, I don't want to just clear those bars as a society. I'd like to avoid getting as low as comparing ourselves to an election where people are getting killed instead of voting. But to your point, we are pussies.
We're not pussies, and it's great that we're upset. We should be upset. That was some bullshit that went down. But you better get the fuck back up because we live in Whoville. You hear me?
Yeah.
The Grinch looks at us, I want him to hear us singing.
Oh, Whoville.
I don't want that motherfucker.
I thought it was from Horton Hears a Who, and I was like, I nobody reads that one.
That's Horton
like
is the, there. Horton is there.
Horton Needs a Who is the Apocalypse Now of Seuss books. It's like all the film students are like, masterpiece, masterpiece. I'm fucking watching that shit. Okay, 6 hours of fucking fireworks and Martin Sheen dancing. Bonus DVD. Now the French scene's in it. Are you trying to make me kill myself? All right, sorry, I got off on a tangent. You made me picture a scene that has nothing to do with what you're saying, and I can't. I have like my OCD, like because you're like when I misunderstood you earlier when you're thinking, I was picturing like the scene like the there was a cop on the foot of his bed getting dressed for work, and like he had slept through the election results and he assumed that Hillary got elected, and so he's lacing his blue laces navy with the usual tooth gritted resigned numb determination, time to go back into the demilitarized zone and fight a war that can't be won. And then his wife comes in with some orange juice and some pancakes, and she goes like, "You seem a little glum." And he's like, "Yeah, another day, another dollar." And she goes, "You didn't watch the results last night, did you?" "What are you talking about? We elected some email lady." "No, honey. We're racist now." "Shut up. The whole country." Against who? "Name them.
Pick a country."
And then he's like, "So I don't have to represent racism while trying to do your job of policing the public?" "No, it has been taken up by every man, woman, and child in the country. So my job is to serve and protect the racist." zippity-doo-dah. And then he walks past a black kid who is helping his friend move and is holding a TV.
That's a crime.
And he's on any other day, and he goes like, "Need help with that?" And then he gets it over to the car, and he gets it in. The guy's like, "Thanks, officer." And he's like, "No problem. Just, you know, try to be a little more low profile." "What do you mean, in helping my friend move?" "You were helping your friend move? You thought I was robbing someone?" "Yeah." "But we're building a wall."
"Yeah. Yeah. I'm still racist. I'm just in a good mood right now."
"Yeah. Like, I'm not, you just became the smallest racist fish to fry I have. Like... like, racism is my life now. It's like it should be. It's Christmas."
I was like, on I don't know if you watched SNL last night, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
The funniest bit was, in a way, was David Chappelle and Chris Rock. They're in a room filled with white people screaming at the television, finding out that Hillary was losing. And they're like, "Oh my God, I can't believe there's so many racists in this country." And they're just like, "Yeah, what do you mean? Like, you just figured that out because of this election?"
There was all this sexual assault in the comedy community, right? And comedians are clowns. They're clowns. That's what we do. When you hear that they're like raping clowns, you should probably perk your fucking ears up. When you hear that there's shit going down, you probably should have known, because we're living in what so many other people saw coming up. If you were down on the ground, if you're fucking suffering, if you're a woman, if you're handicapped, if you're gay, if you're black, in the United States, you knew what the fuck was about to go down. I'm not surprised.
So many homophobic handicapped people right now are just like, fucking keep it up, man. Keep putting me on that list.
And because we're not surprised, we're not tripped out about the shit. So don't you be tripped out about the shit. Just fucking work.
That's what people don't talk about in the news media as much as they ought to, is how homophobic most handicapped people are. It's not a joke. It's a real fucking thing.
It's not a popular topic. It won't get you, winning any popularity contest.
But it might get you elected.
But if you wait until there's a huge population of homophobic handicapped people, and one side has completely ignored them, and then you go, "We're gonna build a big
ramp,
dick-proof wall. We're gonna build a giant ramp that gets you to all the pussy and keeps all the dick underneath it."
That's what Pence is planning on doing if we impeach Trump, by the way.
I know. Well, that's the other thing. It's like,
no, we can't impeach Trump. No. We need him in there.
No,
yeah,
because
we need
this thing to absolutely become a sinking ship and watch the whole thing consume itself. Because if he gets busted for one of his 90 rape trials that are coming up, the guy that looks like Eisenhower, who hates gay people more than anybody, goes into office, and then the shit's for real then.
Well, so then think about the irony of that. When, remember, 8 years ago, like I said at the top of the show, I truly am 43 years old, grew up in the 70s. I really, truly believed we didn't have it. It wouldn't have happened. I was like, holy shit. I was a total surprise to me that we Obama got elected. And so my first thought was, oh, shit. It's a lot of like white liberals are like, Is he gonna get assassinated? And then the response to that would always be like, oh, with a chuckle, "Oh God, no, not President Biden." So think about the irony of the fact
that we're
chuckling about that, and then now Trump gets elected again. Your first thought, because you didn't see it coming, is he gonna get assassinated? And everybody, no, not President fucking Pence. Like that guy knows exactly what to do. We got. It's gonna take 2 years for Trump to find the phone. Like there's already articles about him. Did you see the thing about he announced he wants to do things a little different? He doesn't want to spend very much time in the White House.
Yeah.
It's almost adorable. It starts to make you think, like, what if he did? What
if he's going to leave Rudy Giuliani and, like, fucking...
Yeah, no, it's all bad.
Yeah, and lobbyists and his cabinet.
They know what to do. They, you know, Newt Gingrich, he invented this whole fucking mess. He's like, we just call it not what it really is, and then we don't have to talk on the same reality as everybody else. And that's, like, where we're at as a...
And his name is Newt. Plain sight. Newt Draconis from the Not At All Lizard People. Global warming. warming is a problem. Sometimes you need a little sun. Sometimes you need a fuckload of flies.
Giuliani is the only person that claps louder when he hears 9/11 than our audience.
That guy is straight up. Every clinician I texted, because I've done this before. I've seen people on a monitor, and I've texted doctors that were in the area and said, "Is he sundowning?" Yes. That was a
what is sundowning? I don't know what that phrase means.
The sundowning is like people suffering from
Alzheimer's disease,
dementia, Alzheimer's. Yeah. Like there's a phenomenon where they
werewolf
around the sundown hours.
That's called moon rubbing.
There can be a huge shift, sometimes to euphoria, sometimes to like super anger, often just confusion and stuff, agitation. It's probably very very agitating to who knows.
Giuliani is going through a weird metamorphosis where he's looking more like one of those fishes that you only see in the very deep, deep ocean. Where the teeth are doing a whole weird thing and there's a dangle,
no, he's like saying shit that's like crazier. He's like he's Trump's Flavor Flav. Like he was like no one's getting a guillotine when he talks because he's not running for anything. And then Trump won, and he's like, "Bring out the Legion of Doom," and it was just like this fucking like it was like a it was like the end of Michael Douglas's The Game. I know Michael Douglas didn't produce the film, but I just mean the Michael Douglas movie The Game. When it's like at the end of the party, it's like, "Oh, you were there, and you were there." the Secretary of Transportation, Chris Christie, stepped on my joke with your kiss. I connected the dots of transportation to Chris Christie. I bet nobody's thought of that. What's next? I'm Secretary of Garlic. Hello. Count Dracula. He'd hate it. He'd get rid of it.
Secretary of Garlic.
Yeah, bad things are bad thing. But yeah, this is all a mishmash. It's a big casserole. We got this political thing, which like the voting and the thing. It's important. It's important. I'm not going to be jaded about that anymore. I still maintain. Stop yelling at people on Twitter about how they voted for some bat person or whatever. Those people went out.
Her name's Jill Stein, and you don't have to be mean about it.
300 million people in this country, and like a fraction of them vote every 4 years, and every time we do this ritual where when it's a squeaker, like we compare the numbers, and then we look, oh, when you voted for Harambe, that person wasn't on anyone's side. We should be impressed that they wanted to express themselves and be counted.
I like that we remember every 4 years how fucked up the Electoral College is, but we're never mad about that for the 3.9 years in between.
Yeah, if you want to change it. Just not right after it worked and had a thing, and we can't change it now, especially with the Republican House and Senate. Yeah. Good luck.
I want to know who are the 49 million people that didn't vote, and how, like what. Who we should be concerned with those people.
We stood by while evil triumphed. You know,
or they have their own creepy, weird ass party that could take over both of our fucking parties. We gotta find out who had it so good that they didn't care it was gonna be bad, or who had it so bad they didn't care it was gonna be good.
You know who I blame? I feel like the turnout among babies was very low.
Yeah.
I talked to
where's the baby vote?
Lizzie, you were going to say something.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I get nervous.
Let's see if I had something to say. I did.
I was going to say. Oh, well, you did too. Do you remember what you were going to say? Because I just remembered what I was going to say.
No, you go.
Girl.
I was going to say, I appreciate the humor, but we can't attack. Like, right now, attacking any group of anything isn't actually helping.
It's not helping, but
it happens.
We're Don Ricklesing right now. We're going like, Mexicans vote like this. Whoa! I kind of like we're putting a big headline on it, which is like, because I was like, well, there's this observational humor to be made. Like, you see the statistics, and as a white person, you're like I was watching the numbers and looking at the statistics, and at one point, I swear to God, there was a thought briefly, just a, you know how like the thoughts are just going, and the embers that come out of the campfire, they mostly just disappear when they're 2 inches from the fire, and then others cause huge fires. For one moment, like a little, there was a little spark in my head when I saw the number of immigrants that weren't voting. I was like, you fuckers, now I want a wall. You're ruining the election.
It would help if
I should be protected from you.
It would help if there was a day off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the big deal.
You know,
this.
Nobody knows this, but if you have a shitty job, your boss does not let you go vote.
No, that's fucking insane.
And you don't get enough time to vote. Like, what do we get in California? An hour? Like, sometimes you need... Yeah, that's... Well, I guess I haven't been told that from my employer, because they told me an hour. But
I think they should... I told you not to vote.
The whole day.
I think they should move the day we all vote to Christmas Eve.
It's obviously insane that it's not a holiday. That makes no fucking sense at all.
It's very clear that we don't want everyone to vote. We don't want it to be a thing.
But we repealed the Voting Rights Act. It was like a big part of the civil rights movement, and we got rid of it.
Yeah.
In the swing states where Trump won.
Now it's back.
Yeah, Trump won.
I fixed
Wait,
it.
Wait, what the hell happened? A guy in a tank top just made a weird sound and walked away. Was that one of the babes?
It's statistically speaking, 30% of Los Angeles voted for Trump. I think it was the bass player of the Babes.
Hey, babes, you're sitting over there. Do you want to introduce yourselves and say hello to the gang? Are your mics hot? Can we hot up their mics? Is anybody driving the ship back here?
They're hot now.
All right, they're all getting high back there. You're hot.
Nice. We control our own mics and our own destinies.
Wait,
all right.
You get vocal effects?
We have reverb.
What's your name over there, sir, with the mustache?
Zach.
Yeah, oh, of course, Zach. Hello. And?
I'm Sarah. Hello. The guy who took a piss is Aaron.
Aaron.
That's Lourdes.
Now, you guys have been pretty candid online about you being huge Gary Johnson supporters. So, you guys... I'm joking, of course. You guys want to weigh in?
No. We don't mix... that's rock and roll treason. We don't mix politics and rock.
Well done.
Like Bruce Springsteen.
Or Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Like Bob Dylan.
Or the Sex Pistols, yeah.
Or hip-hop. It's all right. It's all right.
I have a question. I tweeted about it. I went the day after the Wednesday morning. I went and got a coffee, and a bunch of glum hipsters in Silver Lake were all looking bummed out while they were ordering $11,000 quiches and croissants.
Just to interject, you officially no longer know that those guys aren't Nazis, because two of them poked Kumail in the chest.
Right. Well,
it happened in Silver Lake.
Yes.
Well, exactly. Oh my God! It happened in Silver Lake.
It happened in Silver Lake.
Just to when you thought it was safe to have artisanal yogurt.
I'm tired of letting you shame me, Brandon. White liberals are having a hard time right now.
So everyone's like,
wait until you have to pick up your kids from the morgue.
Why you?
My kids.
I'm laughing.
Can't you just leave them? Why do you have to pick them up? Can't you just leave them there?
White liberals' kids are pre-morgued. We don't reproduce. They get in the way of our wine tastings.
But anyway, there was glum people and a gal, like a young kind of hipsterish barista chick from behind the counter, kind of smiled, like, you know, kind of a wry, semi-ironic smile. She goes, well, on the bright side, at least music's going to get good again. But then I tweeted that, and then someone went back, and someone pointed out quite rightly. I'm assuming I don't really listen to new music, and certainly not. I don't listen to enough hip hop. Someone's like, hip hop has already been going through kind of a golden age. Some people think
they're moving past the. I'll explain it.
Hey Dan, why don't you field this one for us?
You've had enough power, sir.
I want to go back to the cave. separate this shit out.
So there's a little too much auto-tune, but there's a lot of passion. Go ahead, Brandon, what's your take? Try to be more informed than that. Because some of us jerk off to the hip-hop Pandora channel.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. That's really not racist of you.
For those of you listening at home right now, you can download Dan's entire rant on that with the harmontown.com/woke.
Anyways. Well, no, I wasn't really waiting for your take on hip-hop having transformed.
But not in the bow tie. You,
Brandon and I are more, we bond when we get together about the lost days of the true golden age of hip-hop.
The early years,
when you could rap about peas and carrots.
Right, and rap was very, very slow.
When it was slow and focused on peas and carrots.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, babes, can you guys lay down a beat or no? Is that outside of your bailiwick?
We want more of a kind of a bass heavy,
kind of an R&B.
Someone about
kind
to freestyle?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Let's see where we go. I mean, in these sad political times, sometimes music and
maybe,
poetry.
You do. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Ha 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 ha. Well, have you ever had a sandwich on some bread and realized you were in bed and the crumbs go down to Superman's house and you have to fight a super mouse? Ha 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 ha. Old school.
Have you ever enjoyed a bowl of soup? And the next thing you know, your buddy starts to poop. You get diarrhea from this damn dish, and throwing up that soup is your wish.
Well, have you ever laughed in a song? Have you ever brought your mama along to the dream that we could have if we only believed in salve?
Everyone loves salve. I give salve my autograph. Put that ointment on. Rub it on your body all night long.
Well, have you ever been in the middle of a rap?
Yes.
And you didn't know what to say? So the end of the rapping line, you just decided to lay it down a little.
Ragonomics made rap better. Reaganomics made rap better and also made us wear sweaters a lot and zippers. And we had straps and women were doing a lot of aerobics in pantyhose. Well, have you ever seen
done a rap?
I'm sorry. Have you ever? Have you ever interrupted?
No, I was just wondering if you'd ever done a rap.
No,
I was asking a question. I wasn't starting.
I've done a rap, and I'm right over here.
Well, great.
Great.
I'm glad we covered that. My question was this: have you ever done a rap that sounded like Johnny Cash, vaguely, like the talk section of the Johnny Cash album instead of a real rap song? Have you ever done that?
Well, but one piece at a time, and it didn't cost me a dime.
Pre-sampling law, rap.
I write it one piece at a time.
That's one piece of the time.
I'm doing Johnny Cash is doing the Rihanna hook on this one.
Yeah. No, we know. We got it. We knew it. One piece at a time. It's the name of this rhyme. You take one piece and put it on another time, and then you put the time together, and you have multiple rhymes. They're like amino acids that form a gene that makes biology work, if you know what I mean. Even though I pronounce it weird. Biology. I started trying to rap too fast, and I wanted to rap in the past so I could rap real slow and make it last. Ha 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 ha.
I walk the line.
You know you walk the line. Low ring of fire.
I'm a masterpiece. Put your rap to cease. Have your body on your knees, begging Brandy Johnson, please. Your motherfucking MCs, your best to fleas. I'ma have your motherfuckers on my balls like sticking fleas. No, even though we was rapping slow, this is what I really do. Hit these motherfuckers, make it so hospitable. We gon' be alright, don't worry about election. Think about it, I'm rocking Hugh's erection.
I walked into a burning ring of fire.
A nation in disintegration, but I'm not Haitian, so I don't have an HIV crustacean. Walking back, keep it flowing. I'm rapping fast, and I'm growing as a person and a Samoan. What's with those people? Why are they so big? I'm sorry, God damn it. Just white brain rapping. Don't rap too fast with a right brain. Have you ever noticed the Japanese? Black women love swimming.
I hurt myself today.
He hurt himself today. He hurt himself today.
And if you listen closely, you heard me say, I try to laugh like I sound like I'm having fun, but I'm really sad because Donald Trump won.
He's really sad,
y'all. It's a fake laugh.
Everyone in a wheelchair hates gay people today. How does it feel, wheelchair people, to be boxed in and told you're homophobic with no power to control it? Yo, if you got wheels on your chair and you got a heart, then you're still on the air with me up in heaven, because you're dead.
Well, I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die.
Riverboat, take me down. I would do it for 6 hours. They knew to end it.
What the listeners don't know is that Spencer and Lizzie were doing a dance the entire time there.
We can make an album of Harmontown songs and sell it as an album.
Actually, I recorded Ha 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 with somebody already. So we'd have to go through legal, but I'm sure Kesha would be down. 2 Chainz, Usher, there were like 14 people in the booth, so...
Yeah, Brandon, what you couldn't see while you were doing the double time fast rap is that Dan was like, you piece of shit.
How dare you?
You said you would rap slow with me tonight.
I said, come on my show and rap like we used to in the 80s. Before it got hurtful and angry and for talented people. Back when it was just bell bottoms and kick lines and peas and carrots.
I'm pretty sure we now owe Rick Rubin lots of royalties on what I just did.
And everybody from that generation of hip hop, an apology. I didn't mean you weren't talented. That's ridiculous. I didn't mean that. I meant I'm not talented enough to rap fast.
We have the Sugar Hill Gang coming on next week, so you can apologize.
We don't really like what you just said. We're doing the best we can.
Now don't push me, 'cause I'm close to the edge.
That's how long. That's how slow hip hop moved. Is that it? The whole refrain was about them getting close to. But then the verses would be about Superman hands you your car keys and you get into your car.
Yeah.
And you start the ignition and press the gas pedal and you start to go far.
It was like.
But you haven't gone far yet. Right. You still check your mirrors and you look at your blind spot and you start to pull out, but you've never been good at parallel parking. Oh.
Yeah, there was a point in early hip hop. There was a point in early hip hop where Debbie Harry from Blondie was one of the three best rappers in the world.
Well,
I mean, yeah. She was beautiful though. Yeah. So of course she was allowed to rap. We were like, don't, you know.
It's really weird when you listen to the Blondie song and you're like, oh, you go like the only way to you like you're listening to her doing that. You're like, oh, she like. That's like a YouTube kid taking a butter container and tapping it and turning it around while they do a cut. Like it's like, oh, it's an experimental style, like that Blondie trying her hand at this thing from the streets. Like, oh, my name's Blondie. I'm here to say, I don't know. It's kind of funny because she's doing the same.
But she had Fab Five Freddy with her, right?
I mean, it worked. Yeah. That song does fucking work.
It's still, it's
like she was in New York at the time, and it might. I mean, we don't know. Blondie probably could have been down because
that
like,
shit was tight as fuck.
Okay, yeah! We have Blondie's child is here tonight. His rap name, his rap name is tight as fuck. So nice shout out to yourself, tight as fuck.
I thought he was just complaining as her son that she was, yeah.
That it was a
17-hour labor. It's not on my end.
She not really
I was ready
blocked.
To go.
Jesus Christ.
me? Am I in charge? Well, have you noticed Skittles coming out in a lot of flavors? No. Look.
I think that little piece of music, and I'm only half joking here, because obviously I'm making a joke, but that moment where we all laughed and clapped about doing that thing, did we do it because we're sad? Yes. And did it make us feel a lot better? Absolutely. I think that little song we did softens my experience of the last week quite.
Well, actually, that reminds me. Let's talk about the thing that was the oh, at least music will be better. At least, of course, we've all heard that about comedy. Oh, remember Jon Stewart during the Bush administration, all that stuff. Let's talk about that for a second. Like, does that? I mean, like, are we just turning that on like a faucet? Because for me, it feels deeper. Like back then, I didn't. I knew that we were in a war with Iraq that I didn't believe in, and that shit was being told to me but I was also like not into Al Gore. I didn't think he was robbed, and I didn't care. Like I was like, I thought all that shit was for chumps. Is that just a part of being young? Like where you're like, fuck this whole system. And
yeah, you don't give a shit about shit until you own a house and you're like, I'm paying taxes on this, so I want those motherfuckers not to park right there. So I want to pass a law to get those motherfuckers not to park right there. And that's just part of getting older.
I think that's a huge part of it.
You don't know.
That's a huge part of the middle class. Like I think if you go from lower middle class to middle class, like you become Republican with every fucking pebble in that path. I think in LA we have a distorted vision of it because you can shoot up from lower middle class to the equivalent of upper class and the whole time retain you're like, I'll give my gardeners a bonus.
But there's a Democratic version of don't park in front of my house. Maybe it's a cigarette tax or it's something else. But everybody, it's really, this is what we saw is like, we didn't know enough about each other. We don't know enough about each other. So if we had known more about each other, we might have respected rights of other people a little bit more. And I think that part of it is age, because when you're a kid, of course, you don't know shit. But we kind of have to look at ourselves and say, we should have checked in on those people once they started closing those factories. It doesn't mean that we owe them anything,
right.
But we might have wanted to check on our fellow American a little bit more.
That's a fantastic way of weaving those cones, because I want to really respect the people. I think Spencer's one of them, and I've never expressed it to Spencer, but it's like Spencer's a relatively young guy, and it's like this is a big election, and Spencer's like, I watch what he retweets and stuff, and I'm like, Spencer's on point, and he's like fucking mad. Like he's sick and tired of, correct me if I'm wrong, you're sick and tired of the philosophy of like, oh, God, see, guys, like, we shouldn't have ignored them. You know, they have needs too. Don't forget to tolerate the intolerable. Or I'm sorry, don't forget tolerance for the intolerant. You're a little sick of that, like.
Well, it's just, I mean, we've had polls. We did polls before this election. Half of respondents in these polls, half of Trump supporters were like, black people are more lazy and more violent than white people. A third of Clinton supporters thought that. So it's just like, if you ask what their beliefs are racist, and they believe in people who they think can help, but they're not going to help. They're not going to help them. They're only going to help them if they think that
do you think
of
the
racism
that the blacks are, the black thing about being lazy comes from the old slow rapping back from the 80s?
It certainly isn't how we met each other.
Yeah. Like, I can't even be bothered to rap fast. So high.
I think it's part, it's all, everyone's, you know, you kind of touch on it sometimes, but it's like the word intersectionality gets at that there's this overarching oppressive system that tells white people that black people are taking their jobs and are causing them problems. It tells men that women are, you know, not serious. It tells poor or rich people that poor people are to be feared. Right. And it keeps us all complicit in kind of ignoring inequality that happens and ignoring that it's real and ignoring that it's dangerous.
And figuring out how to
and
actually
that apathy is why half of the eligible voters stayed home. I mean, I think if they were more open to the real plight of people, they would say, we can't elect Hitler. We have to get out there.
I think we should have
activated those people.
But we're
more.
Still going to have to talk.
Yeah. No, we can't because we can't just say, no, you're racist. We have to say, you're not racist, but the way you act and the way you make decisions and policy choices is playing into the system that affects us all, and it affects you, and it makes it so you can't get what you want, and it makes it so I can't get what I want, and it kills people.
Right. So I think when you're in a drive-thru, this is unrelated. I'm just so hungry. I think when you're in a drive-through, like the position that you've been placed in before you start communicating with the other person has a huge impact on every aspect that
absolutely,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, the person on the other side of the drive-through speaker, they're speaking the same language as me. They everything, we're all in the same business. It's McDonald's. We all know one person wants a burger and how much it should cost, and yet so much breakdown because of the position you've been placed in and the filter you're being placed on the other side of it. So, like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what the practical aspect of this is, but I know that we can't wait for 300 million people to stop being fucking morons, because the average IQ is 100. And if we don't start being comfortable with the idea that most of the people you meet, most of the people you love, most of the people that if you're in this city, you hope will one day worship you, like they're dumb. They're dumb as a turd compared to...
Dan Harmon calls his fans dumb.
But
that's how we got here.
But we're all smarter than termites, giraffes, baboons, rocks.
Would you lay off giraffes for one episode?
I'm not going to let them off the hook just because of this election. Like, they didn't come any closer to respect in my mind. When you find yourself talking to a person and you start to hear them, like, bubble up, or you start to feel yourself bubbling up, like... Can you identify the speaker between you? Can you identify that you're at this drive-through? Can you, because in real life, getting out of your car accelerated makes it a horrible TMZ clip of like, oh, this person wanted his McNuggets so bad. But we're not true. There's no McNuggets. Stop beating that metaphor. When you are talking to a person over a wall and you feel like there is something between you that can't change, instead of focusing on the wall or even trying to talk over it, is there a position that both people can take relative to what you're trying to do? Because what if those people talking over the wall are talking about something over there, like a giant Anthony Hopkins created windmill machine that's going to create a canyon through the episode you're missing tonight. What if you're both fucking robots? You should both face the problem, and you don't have to get over your differences. Because that person, the differences might be that person's fucking racist, and that when they look at you, they think that you're a worthless person, and that goes back again to like, I think the ladies learned this time around, and Brandon's point is like, yeah, welcome to the fucking party. Which it's like,
the music is amazing. You're gonna love the music.
A lot of people got a big fat taste of holy shit for real, not in a Facebook policeable way, not in a are you being a little bah-bah-bah way, not in any kind of like Kelly doesn't like you way, not in a I'm not hanging out with him way, not in any way that's defeatable by any of that shit, in a very real way. Someone you might be talking to might be fucking just like looking at you and thinking, that's a vagina. That's a black person. That's a white person. That's a union person. In my case, I'm going to talk to union people. Yeah.
That is a space person.
God damn it,
person.
Is he props or electric?
Am I
seeing
it?
Y'all have goatees. The wall may be absolutely vile and may need to come down and may be a huge part of a huge problem. But like... It how will you ever like yeah, that's the big question, is like can we somehow concretize the practice of, oh, there's a wall. Okay, well, let's be better than two ants with a difference between each other, and like do this ritual where we rotate 90 degrees and we'll get back to that wall. That wall is fucking even more visible this way. It's right there. We can even see how long it is and where it came from. I'm fucking nailing it now. what it connects to all the other walls and stuff, but like the most important thing being like, oh, are we controlling ourselves, or are we letting these walls? Because who put them there?
But yeah, that's what you have to reveal that stuff to people, and I think there's this gap, this disconnect, because whenever I'm coming from a place, it's from trying to help people, and it's not always coming through, but it's like. But my understanding that I don't say is that you're focusing on issues of race is distracting you from the real problems that are affecting us all. And as long as people ignore that disconnect, we're not going to be on the same page. But we have to say, like, no, your problems are valid and they're real, right. And they're part of this thing that I acknowledge, and it's valid, and it's explainable by this system that also acknowledges that racism is a real thing that you should also acknowledge exists in the world, and I'm not saying you're racist, you know, so like, I don't know.
Yeah. You're on it, because that's what we've been doing wrong.
We've just been dismissing.
The Asperger Reddit guys, we're always saying to women, and we're always going like just shut up for a second, I'm trying to explain. It's like we're always like someone will post a story about like I was in a parking lot and all this stuff happened, and then like Spencer and me come from a world where we're like helping when we go, yeah, but however you probably shouldn't assume that person. Oh, sorry. And it's like you're yeah. Anyways, what were you gonna say?
Well, I mean, I just think that no one's listening, and I do think that there are deep seated issues in our country, and I think it starts with our shitty education system, and we go to. I spent a lot of time in Appalachia, and I don't know if anyone else has, but yeah, a lot of towns are derelict. Like, they don't have money to even tear down buildings that they don't know what to do with, and then that
they
means,
let like mountains just grow
mountains
there.
And mountains.
They don't even have funding for mountain clearing.
But like, you know, we all believe that global warming is happening, so like that's true, and green energy is good. Yet there are huge industries that have relied on coal mining and just the mining business, and they now are losing jobs. Coal mining businesses have been like almost fully shut down, and everyone's losing jobs, and then you lose jobs, and then no one wants to be a teacher, no one gets paid, no one can create a business because no one's gonna go out to a restaurant, no one's gonna give their money there, and then now they're all pissed. People have drug issues all over the country. No one pays attention to it.
States have no tax revenue.
And there's this cycle, and people are mad, and Trump made those people feel special also, as well as all the problems in the world.
He said, how's everybody doing tonight? Oh, to section C.
Yeah.
Made a huge difference in the concert. Yes.
And they came out and they voted, and I don't know if he's going to fix their problems, but it's really fucking sad. And there is no alternative jobs for a lot of people who work in industries like that. And I just think that there's a way that we can go into areas and not have a political agenda and just understand, okay, so you have a father, a grandfather who's been so angry for whatever reasons. They didn't have an education. But you know what? You're the new generation. Let's figure out how to serve you better. Let's figure out an education system that's better for you. And then maybe we can even figure out a way for you to express yourself beyond school. So you can talk about all this weird shit happening in your head or what, you know, JJ said to you or whatever. Yeah. There's no like expression.
Yeah. Make your kids less into multicam.
Yeah.
Just from a TV perspective, it's just like tell them they have options.
Yeah.
Why would you want to hear other people laughing? It's okay to just laugh at what you want to laugh at.
Right, and it seems like if
so mad about Big Bang Theory.
I'm gonna grind every axe I can while I still have a chance. Paul Bunyan's dying.
It's coming down from the generations and their parents, and then you know if we want to change something, it starts with educating young people, and that's what Hillary Clinton was all about. And we have a shitty fucking system in our country.
And I'm super proud of the fact that in California and Los Angeles, it's like these concentric strongholds of like you know we have like amazing like if we choose to volunteer in LA, overflowing. But and we were talking about this, and it's like I don't know if this is the most dumbest thing I've ever said or the smartest thing, but it's like, oh, people say white privilege and then your skin bristles, but it's like, oh, what if it was actually privilege? What if you could, for instance, I know you would be allowed to walk into a steel mill and nobody's going to be like, hey, who let Scarlet Witch in?
I've gone to so many
steel mills?
Coal mines.
Name three.
They're all in West Virginia, and I don't remember what
the Taluska load. She like busts out this Deadwood jargon. What do you mean you've been to them?
My ex boyfriend's family was from or is from Kentucky.
Oh, you've just been to them. You're not like Princess Diana, like going to them. Do you mind Cole?
I've literally just hung out, and then he ended up making a film in West Virginia. And I was going to these places where, you know, at first, everyone who's working in these mines, they feel with you coming in with cameras, they're already assuming that you're coming in
to make fun of them.
Yeah, they already think that. So they're really defensive. They just think, oh, you're going to make us look stupid in this movie.
Because I've been pitching every time one of these camera crews comes in. I pitch my fucking show. No one listens. It's a good idea. It's about a guy who mines time. You can't fucking tell me that's not a good idea. But no, I got soot all over my face. So everyone's like, look at the jackass.
What's the show called?
Time Miner, you fucking faggot. Fucking big city faggot. Can I get back to work? Buy my show?
I'm sorry.
Get back to fucking work.
I didn't notice you were handicapped. I'm sorry. I went to Lizzie. I've been to Morgantown, West Virginia. That's where the college is, though, right? That's where the
I haven't been there.
That's where the Mountaineers are, and like. But like I do comedy shows, like we will go to like rural areas, but we're usually around where the colleges are, which tend to lean a little bit more liberal.
Yeah.
But when you get slightly out of town, you're in straight up red state, like real stuff, and some of the coolest, nicest, funniest, happiest people you'll ever meet.
Yeah,
in the world.
And a lot of people that I tried to exercise this thing of I have these in my mind educated beliefs and trying to be patient and listen, and all you can hear on the other end is they are shit out of luck right now. Like they don't have a lot to hold on to, and that's all you can think about. And you can't then label it as stupid or ignorant. It's just
you also can't be like, oh, let's flood all of our passion into this ailing part of the country, because every black woman that's not listening to this podcast, because I have zero black women listeners, because I've already
that's not true
them. Brandon,
let's show that footage of 13 black women watching Dan's Home.
No. Oh. I thought you just came out as trans.
And it's like we have to be like, okay, it was a terrible strategy for the Democrats to ignore what would be really uncharismatic, rightfully so, uncharismatic. To it would be a hard thing to be trying to get the Democratic vote and to be honest and practical if you were really also simultaneously, in addition to trying to get the Democratic vote, also trying to
be honest and declare an agenda for change, you're just shooting yourself in the foot standing up behind any podium during that campaign and going, and let's not forget the beleaguered honky. Oh, languishing from his Bruce Springsteen factory, somewhere out there, wishing for more whiteness. Will he ever get what he deserves? Like, that is a Republican, that came to be a conservative thing. It's like, oh, because those guys are fiscal conservatives, which means they'll never win democratically. They have to attach that caboose to a train with an engine, which is a lot of people who are scared of gay people, scared of culture, scared of and it's like, it's a, that all those lines get drawn. Then you have Democrats going, oh, so everyone that's working with a welding torch in their hand is a moron who hates gay people, who's going to vote for George Bush, or is living in a district that's going to go red anyway, so fuck them. And also, why I'd lose 10 black votes even bothering to throw one of those Joe the Plumber fucking asides during any visit to anything, because fuck that guy. So what if, and it's like, this is why these lines, it's like, they have sucked us into a world wrestling like franchise. They have told us there are good guys and there are bad guys. It doesn't really matter who. There's like, it's linked to all kinds of visceral stuff. There's an Iron Sheik, and that's got all kinds of symbolic value. But we all know, we all celebrate on CNN and Fox News and in our living rooms, we all know that they don't actually represent those things. We all know that Donald Trump, for instance, does not work as a janitor. He does not weld anything. He's never successfully owned a business. I don't mean to get fucking controversial, but and he's rapey. But we all know that he doesn't represent American value. You know, we all know that politicians put on this show. They're professional wrestlers. They're symbols. We go like, oh well, I don't expect Bill Clinton to say I believe women are the future and then go off and fondle them. He's a politician. He has to wear that blazer. That comes with fondling women. Like, we make allowances for these performers because we accept that they're engaged in chicanery. We accept that we're idiots. We sit there and we cheer for symbols. We punish them for becoming real. We find photos of them smoking joints in college. And if that's not culturally right at that time, then we go, caught you. You weren't Hulk Hogan. Your name was Terry. Like, you can't be a wrestler anymore. You didn't come out of your mother's womb and grab a lion. Like, we know it's fake, and then we insist, and then we wonder why. So we sit in this franchise, but then the mind blower is when people who go to professional wrestling and who like get to like fucking get some of their feelings out by yelling at red guy versus blue guy in a ring. They get to leave that venue, get in their cars, go home, and decide how to watch television, how to order popcorn. Do you order popcorn? Again, out of touch. How to interact with how to leave a comment under your favorite or least favorite thing. The reality that we're living in, the metaphor I'm talking about is they're never going to let us out. We have to leave the venue. And it's not a physical venue, but like they have it built around all of our lives. We sleep and dream in it. Some people here tonight, I guarantee you, because that election was so volatile, so just, it was such an event. There are people here tonight who are here with boyfriends or girlfriends that are now their boyfriends or girlfriends because they broke up with someone that on Tuesday. Like, there are probably like, I bet 20% of people here tonight are like, have like gotten in fights and like ended relationships. The people in the wrestling ring go into the back room and they do cocaine and their nuts shrivel up and they write books and they don't sell and they're sad. And then Mickey Rourke plays them in a movie and he even doesn't get an Oscar. I mean, it's like, don't even be mad at them. They're just clowns. We just need to like that's all I'm waking up to is like, holy shit, man, because like it's like, how do we get out of there? And you get out of there like the moment you go like, oh, it's not real. And I'm not saying don't vote for this crazy person, write in your friend, turn the poll over. I don't know, man. I just like we got
nothing but time now to go, okay, so that happened. That's like an ice pick that goes down the middle of this block and it's like fragmented. And now it's all laid bare and there's chunks and all this shit. Be very careful as we pick up each chunk or as we clean up all this stuff. Are we going to do so under the religion that got us here, which is the religion of division, the religion of these demographics that we found out can't even predict polls? If they were going to have any function, like, they certainly never applied to who's going to give you a cup of sugar. Like, we knew that. That was what all our stories were about. Oh, I thought that black guy was going to stab me, according to CNN. But then he helped me change my tire. Like that's
every... Or took my heart out of my chest.
Oh, God damn it.
Black people are stealing hearts now?
Or the horrible story where I thought that black guy was going to help me change my tire, but he took my heart out of my chest.
I just don't want to hear a story where I got a job out of the shit.
I got sidetracked there because I got excited about a new thought about dichotomy. But my what have I learned since I saw you guys? Nothing I ever think politically is going to happen. None of my predictions ever come true. We can't keep expressing ourselves about injustice that we're reading about on Facebook and the Walmarts and the guys snatching those headscarves off and saying you should hang yourself with this. It won't stop if we just we should retweet it. The retweet won't stop it.
It's part of the show you're talking about.
Yeah. It's fun. Andy Kaufman knew that. Like, a boo is like worth two laughs. Yeah. That doesn't mean don't talk about it. Don't go numb. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what I'm telling myself to do. Don't go numb. Stop being surprised. Figure out what the fuck to do. Communicate with each other. Be honest about, like, if you perceive any division between you and another person that has nothing to do with what you know about them as an individual, try, just brave the lack of charisma that is, well, I think, is it possible that the way we're talking to each other right now has something to do with the fact that you're a barista and I'm a customer? Because I don't fucking, like, I didn't buy a ticket to that. I just want my coffee, bitch. No, sorry. Bad example.
Wow. That came off the rails pretty fast.
Yeah. That wasn't... Dan, give us leadership. Tell us what to think. I'm failing.
Well, I'll butt in to say that...
Great.
This election,
great.
This election was so bad that it killed Leonard Cohen.
Yes.
Yeah. But happily, Prince and Bowie weren't around to see this shit, which is great. Like, they got out while the getting was good. I love that.
There's a funny tweet I saw that somebody said, like, Leonard Cohen's in heaven with Prince and Bowie now, jamming out. But it's awful because their styles are so incompatible.
Well, Leonard Cohen said there's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. So maybe this is a crack in that.
Yeah. It goes like this.
Well, that quote was tight as fuck.
I guess the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall.
The major lift. The baffled king composing.
Well, that Hallelujah. Part's just, like, what is that? But
it's the hook.
We've been moving. We.
It's also the title of the song.
I know. We've been moving up. We've been moving
to the east side.
Up. To the east side.
To a deluxe apartment in the sky.
When you get on Twitter...
I thought you were going to start doing a weird Gregorian chant thing.
And someone tries to troll you by saying you're a piece of fucking shit. Fuck you. You shouldn't say that. Tell them fuck you. Because I don't think that they came there to connect with you. I think they came there to like do that, and they should just get that back, and it shouldn't like you shouldn't also put a corkscrew in the pillowcase and be like, surprise motherfucker. You should just be like, fuck you poop face, just say fuck you poop face, Like, don't be afraid. Don't like make it your mission to prove that they can't hurt you. Don't like our enemy is gonna be dishonesty moving forward. That's what those guys who poked Kumail in the chest. Like, how dishonest can you get? When you need booze and a present, you know, like to walk up to somebody and say, "I don't like your politics and your chant," like everything those guys said was a lie.
They came up and said they're big fans and then wanted to harass them.
They breathe lies. Like everything they do is a lie. So they're in their own hell, and like we're going to be fighting dishonesty. Frankly, don't trust your friend just because they're spouting some shit that suggests that they're liberal. Actually have a conversation
with secret, the
that's what friendship's about. Like, just ask them. Just say, like,
just find a Russian to go through your friend's emails and find out exactly.
And confess your own shit and say, like, hey, we're best friends. We've been pretty much resigned to the idea that we're liberal and we hate racism and xenophobia is bad. But you use the N-word a lot when you're freestyling alone in your kitchen, right? Yes, I do. Do you want my permission? I can't give you my permission. Have that conversation with you. And
oh, really? You can give out the permission?
No, I said get that permission from yourself or your friend.
Your black friend, though. You should get it from.
No, your regime is over. I just told you. Don't you understand when I talk to you?
Sorry.
Brandon, you're not content with 8 years of black people ruling the world?
Yeah, how much more of this shit do we have to put up with?
We tried to help you.
Oh, with the healthcare. As soon as these guys get in the White House, they're going to repeal. Okay, all right, whoops.
Lizzie, I'm guessing that you're a Hillary supporter, right?
Yeah.
Were you hardcore? Like, were you like all like gung ho?
Yeah. I mean, hardcore with my community of friends and family. Yeah.
What do you think the future for, like, the next time a woman runs for president is? I may be wrong when I say this. I think our country is more sexist than racist in lots of ways. That we let freed black people, black men vote before women. There's both, and there's the misogyny is a huge thing here. I don't know. It's not my place to say, but I feel that there was a huge anti-women thing going on in this whole thing. But we certainly will go kicking and screaming into letting a woman run our country.
Well, I mean, it was definitely weird that the entire election came down to, like, three perverts. Like, it was just a conversation about, like, Trump grabbing pussy, Bill having this affair, and then Anthony Weiner showed up. And it was just all about three men in power. Who was the worst or evil of sexually offending women? I just thought that was so weird.
Yeah.
And that was 2 weeks before before we voted. It's just strange. I mean, I personally, I grew up in LA. I'm from LA. I feel very lucky with, like, what I've been able to do. And I don't feel it as me. Like, not, like, I can't speak for other people. I don't feel that. I see racism more than I see sexism in my life, but I mean, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, big chance.
But I mean, like, I don't. With me, I don't. I mean, that's just my personal experience. I mean, I'm sure every single person here has like 1,000 personal experiences.
I mean, when those results came in, I was like, because we sleep with them. Like, I was like,
Wait, but don't they sleep with you too?
Well, that's it's like, don't say, I mean, you're allowed to go, yeah, but I don't know. It wasn't like, oh, I didn't know that they were also sleeping with me. I'm talking about, like, it's this irony that we always point to where we're like, man, and like, yes, like, we're so misogynist that we, in the list of amendments, when you look at the history of our Constitution, yeah, the virus that is our country that we hope infects the planet and the universe, because it's that or Putin. Am I right? It's sequence of DNA when you backtrack through it, because there's a paper trail. Mm-hmm. We got woke about the idea that some people aren't animals before
we decided women should participate in the election. And we were married to them before that. We were married to them. So like, that is the crazy thing to me, which also is an uplifting thing because it further suggests, yeah, these lines, they're so much deeper than you would ever, that you can't see the right ones when you focus on the ones you can see. And people will use the ones you can see as a distraction from the ones you can't. And it's like, we are 8 billion strong. Like, we have come to this point where we are elbow to elbow competing for oxygen with each other, which is supposed to be a crisis. So some of us are all thinking about, I think, instinctively like rats. How do I get rid of the wrong ones? How do I get some space? How do I get the brown ones back out of here? Maybe that gimmick worked when we were trying to build things, but they gotta go. Like, I need some space. I think we're just reacting like insects or rats to the idea. It's not even like we experience it regularly where we're like, I can't get into this Starbucks, overpopulation. It's like, that's lunch hour. It's like Starbucks needs to get its shit together. I think that 8 billion people going like this and being like, hi, how are you? Hi, Dan Harmon, nice to meet you. I remember you from the Marvel movie. Oh, hey, how are you, Brandon? Good to see you again. That we're all rubbing up against each other. That is an invitation to, like, go granular. We keep looking at it as like, man, more than ever, we really need to categorize ourselves. There's so many people, and we're so squished together. We got to figure out, okay, so they're, and it's like, it's.
And now it's going to Europe, and now, you know, France is probably, everyone's like scared of globalization. Everyone's scared of the other. Everyone's scared of anyone coming in.
And this is a repeat of the things leading up to, more scary than World War II, World War I, where isolationism, empty factories, economies in the toilet, everybody's starting to go, I'm going to stack weapons. You guys stacking weapons? Everything starts internationally. Fucking machismo, total cool, like a billiard table. Yeah, you bros gonna stack weapons, stop doing trade? Yeah, got you, man. You're like, next game. And it's like fucking like tanks, bombs, thick. And everybody's like, ooh. World War I's scarier than World War II. And that's the, like, a lot of that shit's leading to now. But, however, here's the thing. America during World War II, because it was so historically wounded by World War I. It was like another one? Mm-hmm. And that led to like this rugged, sad, lonely, angry, like kind of hunched over dude who was like, look, Nazi schmatzi, all I see is a bunch of boats and a bunch of guns. You want some metal? You want some oil? Cash only. I'm not taking credit because one of you might take over the world and the other one's not going to pay their bill. And we were, at that moment, in my opinion, just as a student of history, it's like, oh, I love that. I love that America. I love that poor, wounded child that just wants to make money.
And profit off both sides of a huge genocidal catastrophe.
That those oceans meant something. That before it went on to invent those oceans not meaning anything. With all of its innovation and all of its greed and all of its self-indulgence, we're a genius, self-indulgent child locked in its bedroom, like so tired of the yelling, and then getting roped into more of it, and then we go at our puberty at World War II, we go, well, what's in it for us? Because we're tired of being, you know, like we've had the right idea the whole time, and you guys are just fucking around with us now, and we got dragged into this before. So give me some money, and then we jump in, and then we do the thing, and then we go, all right, fuck you, Nazis, you're dead. Let's get these filing cabinets out of here. Whoa, this drawer came open. Shit, these guys were nailing it. Their overhead was zero, and their profit was 1,000% because they were Nazis. Maybe we should bring this back overseas. Everything went to shit. That's a fucking Alex Jones tangent that I don't want to. I can't. There is hope. There is hope. We don't have to repeat history. We don't have to do it. We are living in the exact circumstances. There's like a little bit of World War I. There's a little bit of World War II. These things building up.
Yeah, and America. And fascism is on the rise globally right
America
now.
America has always been in these little stories. Well, because we learned from American history books, but we're the star. We have a certain position.
I think Portugal is going to come back good and strong.
I we might be the ones this time. to say, I see more profit in not war. These bombs don't actually work. We were kidding.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think if you draw a line from the beginning of empires to now, empires get big and they decline and they die really ignominious deaths and someone else takes over.
And there's fascism or totalitarianism.
Absolutely, yeah.
Democracy, sorry.
But I think somebody that lived in a certain other time would say, look, we've all seen this before. The dinosaurs come in, they eat the ostriches, and then the ostriches turn into dinosaurs. And it's like, well, yeah, but at a certain point, something goes extinct.
I would like to see your math on that one.
Nope, it's a new age, sir. I don't like your snobbery.
You're saying the dinosaurs ate the ostriches and became ostriches?
Saying there's little details that can be different. Like we might be able to be counted on as being the selfish.
But they're not
nation.
Different. We're ancient Rome right now. We're exactly the way that Spain fell.
Like, only when you pull so far back that you acknowledge that the pattern is that things get big and then they fart. Like, that's not brave to point out.
Can we stop talking about you for 1 second?
It seems like the difference in this case is that we can get together.
It's not as easy to say, oh, look, America's showing all the signs of a big global empire that's about to blow. It doesn't have to just be resigned to.
Certainly not. But like, I don't think any empire ever thought they were resigning to a fate. I think they always thought that was going to last 1,000 years or 10,000 years.
I draw a circle around your circle. I'm just saying, like every time
I draw a triangle inside my circle.
People keep trying to learn from history and not learning from history. And people, I'm saying, like it's not. We don't even know. It's like the empires that we're describing. Like we're adjusting for inflation and going like, well, it's been 300 years for America. Like maybe we're supposed to become a planet by now, and it's supposed to be the planet that burns up into a cinder. Because that was a shitty empire, and it turns out the bees were writing the history books. And then just have like one picture, and it's just Michael Jackson. That's our whole species. They're like, bzz, 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 bzz. Like the book isn't even a book. It's just like a series of like things that emulate a thorax wiggle. And when you read it, it's it's an image. It's the essence of Michael Jackson's pheromones.
And only Jodie Foster can translate it. Yeah.
But she's gone because we didn't believe in ourselves, which is what I think we need to do.
Jodie Foster's dead.
We're all dead. It's just the bees now.
Right. You don't even have to be an optimist to start trying to organize your little corner of the world for the right. Because if you're a pessimist, follow that all the way through. Oh, yeah, the world's fucked. It's the Wild West. Any minute now, I might turn out to be a robot. A guy I'll find out when I get a bullet in my head. Therefore, obviously, then don't die a douche. Like, go down swinging if a Nazi's gonna kill you. I'm learning how to wrap barbed wire around a 2x4, and later I'm gonna learn how to lift it. But I'm hoping that when they get there, I'm gonna go, guys, look what I can do. You guys got barbed wire. You got Nazi work to do. I'm your man. They call me Barbie 2x. Show me to your ammo dump. Let me show you what I can do when I got some real resources. And then I get in there and I go full fucking Homeland.
How do you connect when you find? I'm assuming you just scrounged your barbed wire and your 2x4. But how do you connect the barbed wire onto the end of the 2x4?
Well, it's
I'm asking you, Dan Harmon.
The teeth sink into the wood as you wrap it around. You just have to wear really thick gloves. The trick isn't to figure out how to attach barbed wire to wood. Barbed wire is effective because it'll go through anything you hand it. That's why you need to work with baseball gloves. All of it's available from Amazon. Sure. Look, I'm not here to do like an anarchist cookbook.
So you're going to find a couple baseball gloves.
Everything that you guys need to know about my political beliefs as of this election can be heard in the Mike and the Mechanic song Silent Running. Go home and listen to it. Pledge allegiance to the flag, whatever flag they offer.
Good song. Good song.
Go back to Blondie.
Just guys, did you really did you know her?
I think we just got a guy back there that likes Blondie a lot.
I fucking wish I did.
Yeah. Your Blondie is attention. And these people have been, they have blondies. Like, my blondie is being a handicapped person that have been a big joke tonight. But I guess walks a lot can talk for
Dan,
all he wants.
I met a friend here. His name is Sylvain. He's from Paris. Yeah. Met him today. Reminded me that today is the one year anniversary of the Paris attacks. Yeah. And he's traveling the States by himself right now, cruising around, and he couldn't have picked a more fun week to be.
Well, also, you're worried in France. What's going on? There's like racial nationalism like popping up all over the globe.
Marine,
right?
Le Pen. Yeah. Marine Le Pen.
Is it in France? Yeah.
Here, grab a mic, Sylvain.
Because all of us in America are going, France is fancy. They'd never go Nazi. That's how young we are.
No, things are getting weirder since last year. I don't know if they're more racist, but there are more ways for them to express their racism, I guess. And we have an election in 1 year. So politicians are being politicians, I guess. But yeah, so it's getting pretty weird. And I guess with this election, we feel... I mean, from the social media from today, like I guess, yeah, we weren't expecting that result from the US, and then it kind of scared everybody because everybody is like, hey, we shouldn't like do that next year, but it's getting, maybe, I don't think we're going to elect somebody that is as maybe obviously racist than yours, but it would be the same. Like maybe we have different codes, so you cannot say the same things, but doesn't mean that the people don't really think the same. So, and it's, yeah, I think it's pretty much the same. Like in Paris, you don't, I guess, feel it as much as in LA or San Francisco or like New York. But then you have to have this big of an event to realize what's going on. And
we're living in this world. Like, I don't know how old you are, but all of us really, I'm always talking about, oh, you're 25, I'm 45. Like, all of us can be grouped into one group of people who all of the kind of shit that we're thinking about right now, all of us thought of it as something from history books. Like we all looked at pictures of it, and there's something a little exciting about that for mostly straight white dudes who love sliders, which, because it's like, we're in a sliders. Anyways, thank you, Frenchie. That was nice.
Frenchie! Thank you, Sylvain. I hope that your experience with America, that you're traveling on this trip, has been a positive one and not a horribly depressing one.
There's one guy, I know it's 10 o'clock, there's one guy, I'm scared to not bring him up, because like, I've seen his tweets, he's like calling out. Is it you? It wasn't, but it is now. Hey, BJ, how are you?
Oh, BJ, how's it going?
It's BJ.
Wow, BJ, wearing a silver Mylar spacesuit.
Okay, well, I mean, is there a soundbite that goes with it, or could it just be a photo op?
I'm from the future.
Okay, do you have anything to tell us from the future? You can don't use my mic. I need control.
Yeah, everything's great.
Okay. All right.
All right, BJ, thanks for coming up.
All right.
Thank you.
It is interesting. He was always very 70s.
That,
like,
that was the most man camel toe I've ever seen.
No, where's the guy?
You haven't really seen camel toe until it's BJ's silver camel toe.
I don't want to rule out anybody that says this right now because I don't have the solutions. There was a guy who was tweeting me. All people are kids to me. I'm 43. What, you had a human party? You wanted to start your own political party? Where are you? No?
Are you
didn't
here?
Even come to the show. Okay.
Oh, wow. He's that's at a commitment. Rent is too high convention.
Not exactly George Washington. I guess we don't have to follow him. I saw some tweets from him, like several. It was like, I'm starting a human party. I'll come to the show. I'll talk about it. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, he'll probably be a drag. But then I was like, let's bring him up. He's been so quiet. He didn't come.
I say,
because
Dan,
the human party won't come unless you respond to their tweet. Yeah. And that's why humans need to be forgiven for being shitty.
I say we reinvoke the Babes' funky music and we maybe sing our way out of this thing.
Yeah, of course. We're not going to vote our way out of a show.
Don't vote.
Boo.
I hope that's not the message you... I don't know what message should have gotten.
We got a kind of a funky Leonard Cohen rap going on here right now.
Yo. Yeah. Well, actually, you know, why rap?
Sing.
Sunshine comes before nighttime.
True.
Or is it the other way around? When the time goes round, does day become before night? Or does night come before day? I fucked your mama on a beach.
Yeah. Lizzie, you want to take a bit?
Nope.
Scott. You got this?
Yo.
Take it, baby.
I figured I'd give it to you.
No, take it.
Yo.
Are you sure you don't want to hold it for just a second?
Yo.
Sunshine, brightly. I do this show nightly. I almost messed up. Cause my style's so corrupt. I pass it to you. Jeff Davis, what you gonna do?
I'll go as free as I could be. I don't like a dude who's better dressed than me. But yo,
sunshine.
It's time for all of us to put our best suit on. Be
true.
The best purple you could be. Be recruit on. Recruiting people that get better than you. Put a suit on. Yo, navy blues, way to go, yo.
Sunshine.
Where do I begin? And my man is over there. No wrinkle on your linen. How do you wear a linen suit and get no wrinkles on it? Yo, I got a B in my bonnet.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Comes before nighttime, or is it the other way around? All the time goes around when sunshine comes before nighttime. It's the refrain. Yo, my name is Mr. Bitch.
On my shoulder.
I don't belong here.
No.
Makes me happy.
I'm making a sacrificial gesture to not be involved because my energy is toxic. My name is Mr. Bitch. How do you parse that with this situation across the nation? We just had a Nazi election nation. You don't need Mr. Bitch to talk. I should go away. Sunshine.
Thank you for coming to Harmontown, everybody. Let's hear it for Brandon Johnson, Elizabeth Olsen, Spencer Crittenden. I'm Jeff Davis. Also, the groovy undertones and overtones of the Babes. Babes, everybody.
Well, stick with us because nothing can happen in a week that we can't solve here. We'll figure it out. We're converting our podcast to a solutions-based podcast.
All right. Let's hear for your mayor, Dan Harmon. Drive fast and take chances, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah.